I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
My name is Patrick Hester, and I have to tell you, if you eat that Greek yogurt, you don't turn into John Stamos. His name is John Anilio, and you're listening to The Functional Nerds, episode number 193. John, take it away.
I've been eating that Greek yogurt thinking I was going to look like John Stamos.
Yeah,
that doesn't work. That's false
advertising. Actually, what happens is you turn into Dave Coulier.
I could live with that. He was with Alanis Morissette. I kind of liked her. You know, she was pretty good. So.
Have you seen him lately?
No, but
yeah,
you know,
he's on Full House.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, that is Patrick Hester. He's an author, a blogger, and a podcast dude. You can check him out online at atfmb.com. You can follow him on Twitter at atfmb. My name is John Anilio. I'm a songwriter and a composer. You can check out my music over at johnanilio.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at johnanilio. And today we are joined by Brian McClellan. He's the author of the Powder Mage trilogy, which includes Promise of Blood and the recently released The Crimson Campaign. You can find him at brianmcclellan.com and on Twitter at Brian T. McClellan. Brian, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you for having me on.
This is Brian's second appearance on the Functional Nerds podcast, and without really trying, our next bunch of episodes that we're going to be airing, it's sort of June is kind of orbit month on the Functional Nerds podcast, and it's kind of good timing with stuff that's going on, which we'll probably get into a little bit later. But I know Tor.com recently had showed a lot of support for Orbit authors recently. I don't know if you saw that, Brian, that Tor was running a little bit about trying to get the word out about some of the Orbit books, and we'll get into all that later. But we're delighted to have Brian on, and I'm a big fan of Brian's books. I read the first book, and I have the second one, but I haven't read it yet. But I'm looking forward to reading The Crimson Campaign as well. So, Brian, what do you have kind of going on right now that the second book is out?
About a week and a half ago, I turned in the edits for Autumn Republic, which is book three, and I'm just now waiting to hear back about what my editor thought of the edits and get the copy edits back. We're moving along really quickly on this one, and so I just been working on a couple of side projects and playing lots of computer games.
What have you been playing?
Cool.
Well, actually, I'm going to talk about it later because it's going to be my pick of the week.
Oh, okay.
Cool. You know, let me ask you a little bit about the editing process and how that goes back and forth between you, because one of the podcasts that I listen to Adam Carolla's podcast, and one of the guy that does the drops and sort of one of the co-hosts of the Adam Carolla podcast is this guy named Brian Bishop, and he recently wrote a nonfiction book because he has brain cancer, and he sort of basically got a 6 months to live sentence about 5 years ago, but through sort of some experimental treatment and other things, he's, you know, in mostly in remission right now. And so it's kind of like his book is sort of an inspiring story about his kind of overcoming brain cancer. But in the end, I guess with his book kind of going back and forth between edits, on the final run through with the edits, there's like 34 different editing, like the final release of the book had all of these kind of typos and other things in them. And so what I wanted to ask you is, with all the different, because there's actually, you know, there's the editing where it's, you know, certain notes on story and flow and all that, and then there's the copy edits, which I guess is, you know, spelling and grammar and all that kind of stuff. So do you find that anything gets added through the editing process that you didn't want in there in terms of like spelling errors and that kind of thing?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Everything seems to move pretty cleanly. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's if I'm different from other authors or not, but we tend to have a very quick and clean editing process where I send in pretty much my first draft. I mean, I've worked on it a lot, but it's the first thing anybody else has seen. And this is my experience with all three of my first books, and she'll give me a big long sheet of things to change. I'll go through that, send it back, and she'll say, "Great, send it to copy edits."
And, um, and, 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 it, And is it so quick because you're so afraid of Davy and what she might do to you because she is evil?
I think it's so quick is because they like having it on a really quick schedule. And I work pretty fast once I'm going on a project. I have the problem of that it takes me forever to get moving on a project. But once I'm on it, I can kind of blow through it really quickly. And that includes both writing a novel and doing the edits for it. So yeah, it's kind of a really quick process for me, and I've never really seen anything, you know, added or changed that I'm unhappy with. I did have an experience with the first book where the copy editor pointed out that I used a whole bunch of British spellings. And I said I wanted to keep that because I like having the European feel to the book. Mm-hmm. And she ignored me. so I was a little miffed about that, but it was nothing to even, you know, mention. So it wasn't worth talking about.
Now, what, how do you go? You said you're very quick with it. What's your, when you're going on a project, then what is a typical day like for you in terms of how you go about writing, what time you start, what kind of hours you keep? Is it a schedule, or do you just kind of, how does it work for you in terms of that?
I try really hard to keep a schedule, and I fail every single time. it's completely random. This last week, I finished those edits and turned them in, and I had been thinking about working on a novella that's in the Powder Mage universe for a while, and it had been bashing around in my head, and so I sat down, and I was like, okay, I'm going to get started on it, see if I can make any progress, and I wrote it in 5 days.
Wow.
And that was including 1 7,000 word day, which is about as good as I get in terms of production. And it was just every time I sat down and thinking I wanted to play computer games or something, I would say, okay, no, I'm going to write instead. And that's basically how the process was for 5 days straight. And it ended up working out. I had some late nights and some mornings where I got up and forgot about breakfast and just wrote. But I got it done really quick. And when I'm on a groove on the novel, it winds up being very similar to that, where I'll just, you know, just pound it out really quickly.
And did you go into Scrivener and set your project and session targets so that it would always be reminding you every day how much you needed to get work done?
I've never actually bothered with that with Scrivener. I don't actually write my short fiction in Scrivener. I just use it for Scrivener for the novels. Mm-hmm. Because I like being able to have everything. Every scene is its own, you know, little whatever you call it, little file. Yeah. And when it comes to a short piece, it doesn't matter as much to me. So I just write it in Word. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, speaking of computer games, let us get on to our picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
And Brian, why don't you go first? Because I think that's what you're going to pick.
Ah, yes, it is. So I was reminded by Steam, thankfully, that right after I turned in my edits, that Tropico 5 was out. And I am a huge fan of city builder games. The whole fiasco with the SimCity was a giant disappointment to me. And Tropico has been one of the consistent fun ones for the last, oh gosh, probably 5-10 years, something like that. I don't know how long the Tropico series has been going on. But so them coming out with a new one was very happy for me. And it added to... added to everything that 4 had, a very similar format, and just added on top of that without taking away a lot of the fun, which sequels in game series will often do when they try to rework too much. So that's what I've been enjoying.
So what are some of the features, what are some of the aspects of the game that you particularly like?
I just think it's funny that a world builder guy likes a world builder game. I don't know.
Yeah. Weird how that would work out. No, I mean, like, Tropico is, it's all about you're a dictator, you're El Presidente on a small tropican island, and you're trying to pit the large countries against each other, you know, the U.S. and the USSR, and you survive through the Cold War and all this stuff while governing this little country, and you can choose to be, you know, a, you know, benevolent president, or you can choose to be this harsh dictator. And either way you go, there's various options of keeping everybody in line and keeping everybody happy. And, you know, there's rebellions, and they basically just amped everything up in 5 and gave it a lot more customability, and a lot more options. A little bit more political stuff, a little more control of trading, and I quite liked that. It didn't change the game mechanics terribly, but it added a bunch of cool new things to it.
Cool, cool. Patrick, what is your pick this week?
X-Men Days of Future Past.
Ooh, I almost went to see that yesterday. I almost went because it's been getting good reviews all around. Did you see it yet, Brian?
I did. My wife and I went and saw it over the weekend. Or no, on Tuesday, $5 movie night.
Cool. What'd you think about Patrick?
Oh, I loved it. It was great. Mm-hmm. I got to see it on opening weekend. The theater that I went to was pretty packed, but not completely full. And I got there early enough that I didn't have to sit up front, you know? And because the last time I went to a movie, I ended up having to sit up front, which just sucked so bad. And I didn't want to do that again. But yeah, it was a great movie. I loved the way that they handled young Professor X, old Professor X, young Magneto, old Magneto. The glimpses into that future world, you know, seeing Bishop, I squeed. I absolutely squeed the first time I was like, oh, that's Bishop, 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 Bishop. You know, because I remember Bishop.
Yeah,
and it was just, it was for me, a lot of these movies, I feel like, I don't know, I'm a comic book nerd and all my comic books are coming to life on the big screen. And, you know, everybody else, they complain. It's like, oh, they didn't do this right. Oh, they didn't do that right. Oh, I can't believe they did this. Oh, I can't believe, you know, it's just complain, 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 complain. And I've decided just to go and enjoy it and live in the comic book nerd, you know, universe and see these things come to the big screen and take it all with a grain of salt. So I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun with it. I thought the way they used the characters was really good. Hugh Jackman is just, you know, he has won me over. Over the course of all these movies as being Wolverine, you know, he's too tall, but yet he does it. He pulls it off. He's got the attitude. He's got it down. He is Wolverine. And it's great when he does these things. And, you know, I'm going to be sad when he's too old to do it anymore. And he said that's coming, you know. I also really enjoyed the Easter egg at the end of the credits, and I'm not going to spoil that for people. It was awesome. And just really good, you know, go see. Cool. Brian, what did you think? I mean, did you enjoy it as much?
No, I totally agree. It was a lot of fun. I do try to take all this stuff with a grain of salt. I was never a giant comic book nerd. I appreciated them. And I thought they were fun. And so it may be easier for me to just go into the movies and say I'm going to enjoy this rather than try to pick it apart. I liked the dystopian future. I can't decide whether I like it or I was terrified of it or both, just in how unfightable the Sentinels were. And that was a big part of the movie that I totally didn't expect. I mean, it starts right at the beginning that you see. And it's kind of cool and terrifying. And like you said, all of the different actors, I really like, James McAvoy as the Professor X.
Yes.
He does a great job. And of course, I just forgot his name, but young Magneto, oh, Fassbender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, my wife's absolutely in love with Fassbender. so that, makes it so that the two of us can both enjoy the movie.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, talking about the Sentinels, I loved their take on the Sentinels, and I loved there was just these moments where something would come through, and it was so fast and so quick, but in my head I'm going, oh, that's from this long line of stories that they did, or oh, that's from that long line of stories that they did. You know, I almost expected the, you know, future Wolverine to have one hand, because in Age of Apocalypse he had one hand. His other hand had gotten cut off. And so, you know, I there's just, you know, there were so many things that called back the comics to me. It was really great. I had a lot of fun with it.
Cool. Yeah, I had actually tweeted the other day because I'm of the same mindset that you two guys are, where I'm just happy that they're making these movies, and I think overall the quality level is very high on all of them. It might not, you know, everyone's going to want different things out of them, so it might not be perfect for every single person. But, you know, I tweeted because I was looking at the movies to see. I was trying to find a movie to go see with my family, and I noticed that, you know, because Captain America was still, or as of like a week or two ago, was still out, and it was. You know, I tweeted, hey, nerds, there's an X-Men movie, a Spider-Man movie, a Captain America movie, and a Godzilla movie all currently showing.
Yes.
Like, we are living in a golden age. Stop complaining.
And what's funny about that, John, is I didn't tweet it, but I had the same experience you did. And I actually took a picture of the marquee at the movie theater. Because, yeah. It had Godzilla, Spider-Man 2, and Captain America. Uh-huh. Boom. All three at the movie theaters. I took the picture. I just haven't tweeted it yet.
Yeah.
And I was, this is the exact same thing that you're saying. I was like, oh my God.
Can you imagine 10, 15, 20 years ago, like going to a summer where like all those movies were out at the same time? You'd have lost your mind. So, I mean, that's, we should appreciate it, but cool. I'm going to try to go see that very soon.
And all four of them have been reviewed really well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Captain America 2 was awesome. I love
that. Yeah, I love it.
I haven't seen Godzilla yet. I wanted to see Godzilla. We had a choice. So I didn't go to the movies alone. We had a choice. I'm like, we could either see Godzilla or we could see X-Men. And overwhelmingly, it was voted for X-Men. So we went and saw X-Men. But, you know, we still want to see Godzilla.
Yeah. I heard that one's good too. My pick this week is, it's going to be a surprise pick for some people because you would think I would have had one of these already. But this is my first iPhone, Patrick. Like, I have never had an iPhone before. You would think with the Apple fanboy that I am that this would be like my third or fourth iPhone. This is actually my first. I just got it a week or two ago. This is an iPhone 5S, which now everyone's like, why didn't you just wait like 2 months and get the new one that's coming?
Because this one's going to be on sale.
Yeah, because this was on sale. I got like a $100 rebate on it from Verizon. So it's, you know, it was like $200 instead of $300. But I got to the point where, you know what it was? My son, this is my first iPhone because I was an early adopter of the iPod. And so I always had iPods. And then every time like it would come up to maybe get an iPhone, it would be, I need a new laptop. And then I'd get a new laptop. It's like, let's get an iPad. And then I got an iPad. So it's kind of like, well, I don't need to get an iPad and an iPhone in one sitting. And so it's just, and hilariously enough, my wife has now had two iPhones. My wife is not a very techie person. She's on her second iPhone already. I'm on my first. But it just, you know what it was? My son uses the iPad a lot now. And it's in one of those big OtterBox cases, which is great if you have a kid using your iPad so it doesn't break. But it kind of killed it for me because then all of his boogers and everything else are on that screen. And it's not the wonderful device for me. It's a great thing for him now. But for me, the iPad has lost a lot of its luster, literally and figuratively. So I was thinking, and I do most of my reading on the iPad, and I was thinking of getting a Kindle. I'm like, well, I want to have something to read on. And I have iPods, but they're all kind of cracked screens at this point and all that too. So I'm like, you know what? Why don't I just get an iPhone? Because I'm tired of carrying around my old phone and
So what size did you get?
I got it's 16 gigabytes.
Okay. So you're going to run into what I run into, which is that you can't possibly put enough music on the 16 gigabyte one.
Right. I'm not That's even bothering. Yeah, I use Spotify mostly these days, so that was why I was okay going with the 16 gigabyte one rather than the 32. Because if I did everything through iTunes, I would have definitely got a bigger model. Because you do run out of it. I mean, there is part of me that wants to go get one of those iPod Classics that are like 256 gigabytes or something ridiculous like that, and just have that with all my music on it and never. But I never pulled the trigger on that. But anyway, so I am loving the phone because it's so much faster and it doesn't have boogers on it
And John, have you loaded anything on there yet? Have you gotten Doctor Who Legacy?
No.
Have you gotten Angry Birds Star Wars or Angry Birds Star Wars 2?
We play a lot of that in my house on the iPad these days. So yeah, my son actually has the telepods, which are like these little like figures that like you put over. They have like what those QR codes on the bottom, and then they like sort of they magically go into the game. So like yes, there's a lot of Angry Birds Star Wars too.
Have you gotten Osaji Yojimbo?
No. I'm gonna pick a couple apps in a future episode, so I'm gonna keep those to myself. But that is my pick, the iPhone 5S. I know people are like, how has he not had an iPad, iPhone? Like that's all he ever talks about.
Well, it's funny because I'm also an Apple fanboy, and what people say the same thing to me though about an iPad. I have no iPad. Yeah. They're like, how can you not have an iPad? It's like, well, give me $500.
Yeah, it's you have to prioritize. You can't get them all. Like, there are people, especially someone like the Tech Podcast, and that's kind of their thing too, because they're reviewing that stuff and they're talking about it. But they just get whatever new iPad, iPhone, laptop. Like, they just, when the new one comes out, they just get it. And it's like, well, I do not have that kind of budget where I can just go. Like, my laptops will go for at least 5 years if I can.
Well, John, you and I, we're not making the mad Orbit cash that Brian's making. So,
I wish I could get the new iPad coming out. I don't think I even own any Apple products in my house these days.
That would be really suck.
Yeah, but anyway, so that is my pick this week. So
and John, I don't want to ruin anything, but I will tell you that I start a new job on Monday, which will be yesterday as this episode is airing. And when I show up there, they are giving me my new MacBook Pro that I'm going to be using as part of that company. So yes,
that's pretty cool.
I'm hoping my old MacBook Pro doesn't get jealous because I don't want them fighting. I want them to get along. I want them to make out, essentially.
Wow, gross. Okay. Well, you know, Brian, I had a couple questions for you coming into it. You know, now I follow Brian on Twitter, and Brian's a real fun person to follow there. You know, because he talks about what he's working on and different things he's doing, and then you know he participates in a lot of the silliness that goes on in our community as well. But one of the things that Brian's been talking about on Twitter, and something that he mentioned at the top of the show, is the short fiction that he's been writing, the novellas and other things that do take place in the Powder Mage universe. And so my question for you regarding the short fiction is, was that your idea to kind of go ahead and start writing those kind of things? Or was that any sort of, suggestions from fans or from your editor?
Did she make you do that?
No, I actually self-publish these.
Yeah, so I guess probably your publisher did not tell you to do that. So, no. But what was it purely artistic, or was it this will give something for the fans to read while they're waiting for the next book to come out? What are your thoughts about that?
It was a combination of things. It was a combination of, I want something that my fans can have to read until the next book comes out. I wanted to experiment with the idea of self-publishing. I still am convinced I would never self-publish a full novel because that is just an immense undertaking, and trying to deal with storefronts and things like that sounds like something I'd want to shoot myself in the head with. But in terms of the short fiction, it's quite a lot of fun to do. I like being in control of the numbers, being able to see all of the data on everything on a weekly basis. I like being able to interact with people about this little stuff on a more frequent time frame rather than the once a year that the novels are coming out. And I like being able to have something that's going to put a little extra cash in my pocket. And that was all of
in my pocket going
it was all of those things. I actually kind of got the idea. I read this article a while back about the way erotica writers had been taking over Amazon self-publishing, and how the format that they used would just be to blow out these little erotica shorts that were like 4,000 or 5,000 words or whatever, you know, every 2-3 weeks, and just have a huge number of these that are each 99 cents or whatever, and that, you know, by volume, you know, they get a following, and then by volume they can make a living at it. And I thought, well, okay, if these guys can do it, why can't I do that with tie-in fiction to the universe I've already created? Yeah, you know, I wanted to do something a little bit bigger. You know, my shortest short is 8,000 words. And I wanted to kind of experiment with the idea, though. And so I've been trying to put one out every 3 to 4 months or so. And that's been not hugely consistent. But I've written five over the last 12 months. One of them I sold to a magazine, Beneath Ceaseless Skies. And then one I just finished, and that'll probably be out in a couple of weeks. Yeah, it's been quite a lot of fun to try, and has actually been received really well. And everybody seems to like it.
And Brian, I'm curious, do you have a day job?
No, I don't.
Okay. What did you do when you had one?
I have never had a actual career.
Okay.
I worked for a few months right before I got my contract. I worked for a few months as a bill collector, which was an awful job.
Oh yeah, and collection sucks.
Yeah, and I had done a bunch of different things, but I'm now 28, so I mean my contract came through when I was just a few years out of college, which was very fortunate because I had never had any other ambitions and I had never had any other career path. So if that had gone on much longer, I probably would be working at McDonald's.
So when you talk about making a living, you are making a living though. You're supporting yourself.
I am. I'm supporting myself and my wife. And my wife works part-time as my assistant, nice. Which is pretty cool.
That's awesome. Cool. Good for you guys.
Yeah. Well, let me ask the obvious follow-up question to what you mentioned about the short fiction. So when can we expect some Powder Mage erotica to come out?
I'm gonna stay away from that one.
John, you can't ask a question like that when I'm drinking coffee.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, my Lord.
It seemed obvious.
you just ruined his keyboard.
I just flashed on something that I probably shouldn't have flashed on. Come on.
Well, I think it's great, and we're seeing more authors do this where they have the short fiction. Because, you know, oftentimes when you're reading a novel, you will come across a character or maybe a mention of some sort of event that happened, and a lot of times you're like, ooh, I want to read about that. So I think this affords authors to flesh out their universe a little more, and I think for fans it's great to, you know, have these, you know, it's kind of like Star Wars. When times I've talked to John DiNardo of SF Signal, we always talk about how when we were kids, we were really starved for Star Wars material. I mean, because it really wasn't until the Zahn books came out that there was a whole lot of expanded universe stuff. And, you know, at the time, I remember just thinking, boy, I would go see any Star Wars movie or TV show. They could have had a movie that was just about the Calamarians, like, on their planet. I would have gone to see that and enjoyed it. And which is funny now, because now I guess that's with you know, the new trilogies that are coming out, that they are going to have these stand, and they, I think, from what I've read, they are going to be putting out a movie a year to, like, have a you know, sort of main story movie and then a sort of a standalone movie. And that's what I want. And I think that's what some people want, and some people will complain about it because that's what us nerds do. We complain about things if they're not exactly what we want. But I think for an author, it's great for you and great for your fans because, like you said, now you've become this kind of hybrid publisher, which we talk about quite a lot on the show. And I think that's kind of a nice place to be where you can straddle the two worlds of sort of taking advantage of what a traditional publisher can offer you and then taking advantage of what self-publishing can offer. So,
hey, John,
I think, yes.
Can I just interject?
Okay. I know what you're going to say. I know it.
Field Marshal Tomas stood erect in the throne room, his sword quivering betwixt his fingers.
Oh, boy, that's a boy. Everybody, you can see Brian putting his hands over his face.
I think I'm done here. We'll
see you guys later. Brian's like, I am never, ever, ever, ever coming back on this show.
This episode 193 marked Brian McClellan's last appearance on the Functional Nerds podcast. No.
Weirdly enough, it was only about 20 minutes long.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do want to say, going on to two more serious topics, I'll let Patrick mute his mic. He's laughing at his own jokes now. You know, another thing you were talking about a few days ago was the audiobook versions of your novels, and is your short fiction being released as audio fiction as well?
Three of them have been released as short fiction as Audible. Mm-hmm. I've just done it through ACX's program.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
Okay. It's the cool production thing that they've got going on there, The fourth one, I just got the rights back for the short story that I sold back in February. So now I'm going to send that one through ACX. I've got a bunch of a bunch of auditions actually waiting for me to look at once I'm done on this podcast, so I can choose the reader. And then as soon as I'm done with the next piece and got it all edited and ready to put out, I'll also put that one up on ACX. And each piece has been about a month process, I've found, with the reader and the producer, I guess is what they call it, because they do the reading and all of the technical stuff. And I've had pretty good response to that. The first couple have sold decently, and you know, people seem to like having it on, you know, the audio form.
And John and Brian, we're totally running out of time, but Brian, why don't you tell our listeners, just in case they don't know, I know what ACX is. I think John knows what it is, but why don't you tell our listeners what ACX is?
Okay, ACX, I actually just forgot what it actually stands for.
it's Amazon's audiobook production.
Yeah, it's Amazon's audiobook production company. So basically what they do is they match authors with producers, and the producers are the ones that that read your story and then turn it into an actual audiobook and post it. And they match it for Amazon's taking 60%, and then each you and the reader get 20%, which is, you know, not fantastic, but it's better than not having anything.
Right.
It's pretty cool because it doesn't require me to spend any money and very little time, to suddenly have an audiobook in, you know, a month or two.
Correct. And you just have to have a published Kindle book.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be in the Amazon right. Kindle store. And yep. You audition people. It's not like they just assign someone to you. You put it out there that you have this project. Here's the book. I'm looking for somebody to read it. They audition for you, and you get to choose the person that you want to do it. And yep. And then you can either – you negotiate with them outside of Amazon. It's got nothing to do with Amazon if you don't want it to. You – negotiate with them how you want to pay them. You can either pay them an upfront fee, or they can take a percentage of the sales.
Yep.
And then they produce it, and it shoots to Audible as well.
Mm-hmm. Audible and they post it to iTunes and everything.
Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty slick little service.
Yeah, that's cool. I wasn't aware of that service. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that they do that, but that's great for authors. Now, so you're doing that for your short fiction, I imagine, Brian, and then Orbit would do it for the longer fiction, I imagine.
Yeah, and Orbit's already done all the.
I doubt Orbit's going to go through ACX.
Yeah, but that's a great service for authors that are doing some self-publishing. So, like mm-hmm. you said, because some people that's only how they read these days. I know a lot of people that my one friend who's a big reader switched over to audio, but he had never heard about Audible. He was still like, you know, he had never really done an audio fiction since like books on tape and book on CD. And I'm like, do you realize you can get an app now and you can And so he's been just reading that way now. So you don't want to lose those people for your fiction. You want to let them enjoy your work and give you a few dollars as well. So there you go. Cool. Exactly. All right, Brian. Well, it's about time to wrap it up. So once again, for Brian, his website is brianmcclellan.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Brian T. McClellan. The Powder Mage Trilogy, you're two books in. You have Promise of Blood is available right now, and as well as The Crimson Campaign, which had just been released. And also, why don't you also name some of the short fiction that we talked about, too, that people can go and check out?
So the short fiction includes right now one novella, which is Forsworn, mm-hmm. and then three short stories, and that's The Girl of Rush Avenue, Hope's End, and The Face in the Window. And in a couple of weeks, I'll be coming out with a second novella that's going to be called Servant of the Crown.
And when can we expect cool. Field Marshal Tomas's Attack from the Rear?
You had it. You couldn't let it go, Patrick. I felt like we got some, you know, we won Brian back. Now we lost him again. Well, everybody, I hope you enjoyed this final appearance of Brian T. McClellan on the One on Earth podcast, because he's never coming back. So Brian, thank you for coming on. Thank you for being a good sport about Patrick and I's horrible jokes at the expense of your characters. For me this week, you could just check out my website, johnanilio.com, check out my music there, and follow me on Twitter at johnanilio. And Patrick, what do you have going on this week?
Uh-huh.
besides defaming our guest, what are you?
I'm starting a new job. I've been hardly blogging. I've been hardly doing anything. I've been trying to close up the old job, and the new job's been sending me stuff. They're raring to go. So I got nothing out there right now. I did the Scrivener stuff. They were a huge success. They had more people sign up for those classes than any of their other stuff that they've ever done. So cool. It was really neat, and it was a great experience. I hope to do it again sometime.
Cool. All right, everybody. So but check out Patrick's website. It's atfmb.com. And you can follow him on Twitter at atfmb. And we'll see you all next time.
Thanks, Mo. I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
Still here? It's over. Go home. Go.